I want you to think of adults in your life, other than your parents, who had influence on your life as a young person. Resiliency research tells us that we need to have at least 5 adults in our lives who are crazy about us to help us to grow into resilient people. So think about it. Who were the adults in your life who influenced you as a young person? In the literature around youth ministry, I see it continually coming back to the importance of healthy relationships with adults outside of your parents, and also the foundational principle that parents will always have more impact on a young person than anyone else. You've heard it said that it takes a village to raise a child. When we look at the rates of young adults who are leaving the church and walking away from faith, we see that it takes a whole church to raise a committed young adult. They need a range of adults involved in their faith formation journey. The Ten Commandments tell us loud and clear that our first relationship is with God. And then the commandments move to giving guidance for us and our families, and then us and the wider community. These commandments were part of the covenant between God and God's people. This Sunday, we are going to take a bit of a look at this covenant here at our church between us and our young people. What is the vision and the way ahead in this reflective Lenten season? You may not know it, but in the conference room of the church, a group has been working for the last 7 months. Susan, Holly, Brian, and sometimes Christian and Phil have been sitting with me as we entered into animated conversations. Together, we are the Youth Visioning Group. We are asking, what is our vision for youth ministry here at our church? And how do we involve each of you in carrying out that vision? We started by talking about our hopes and the challenges that we see. And very quickly, we turned to the idea that we are not just talking about programs. These are not just programs for our youth. No, we are asking a much bigger question. Who are we as a church? And how do we include young people in that? This is hard because so many things in our lives are competing for our time and our energy and our money. Our big lives outside of these walls can be demanding. And where can we possibly find time to fit in faith? In our conversations around the conference room table, we asked, is our faith just competing with all of these other things? Or is it something different, undergirding and flowing throughout all of life? In the 1 Corinthians passage today, it helps us to ask, is faith just foolishness? Or does having faith seem as foolishness to the world, but that it is part of faith's very strength and power? What is it that keeps drawing you back here week after week? What is here that is nurturing you, feeding that deep hunger in your soul? What is the spiritual well that you are drinking from? Have we tapped into that water that Jesus gives so that we may never thirst again? If we can be in touch with that place, youth will be drawn to that. And it's a very different starting place for this conversation about youth ministry, because it starts with vision. This is not foolishness. It is the faith that saves us. We also came to the question of, who are these youth? What do their lives look like? We have many young people at our church, but the visioning group was focusing on those in junior high and in high school, so those in our congregation who are teenagers. So let's look for a moment at the lives of what these young people are like. Technology. You could have a huge banner up here of that. They are immersed in technology and social media. How many of us carry it around on our very person all the time? But for youth, social media can take on a life of its own. The virtual world feeling more real and controlling than anything in the world when you're unplugged. Unplugging can feel overwhelming, but I've also heard youth express that they want help with understanding how to navigate the world of online and also unplugged, and what are some of the boundaries between those two things. Youth today are major targets for and significant players in consumerism. 1 in 4 teens admits that they are obsessed with having stuff. Sexuality becomes part of that consumerism, not only as a tool in selling things, but that other people become objects to have. Sexuality and identity issues are something that each generation has had to work out. But the youth of today can experience pressure to be sexually active in middle school or possibly younger. Sex is not a forbidden or a taboo topic. Actually, not talking about sex and sexuality or gender can possibly put you more on the outside. Numbers are soaring in cases of anxiety and depression in younger and younger people. And possibly to self-medicate for this and these other social pressures that are placed on them, alcohol and other drugs are commonly used by people under the age of 18. When this is a part of the backdrop of the lives of young people, coming to church is a cross-cultural experience for them. But let me tell you a little bit more about the youth here at our church. When our youth are not here at church, they are busy. They are taking AP classes, studying at Governor's School, acting in school musicals, playing in an orchestra, singing in a choir, or two, or three. They're practicing karate or dance. They're playing soccer, volleyball, basketball, baseball, doing competitive gymnastics, sometimes with one season starting before another one finishes. They have dreams. They are working hard to get into a good college and build a resume. The pressure to be involved and gathering these experiences for said resume is being pushed younger and younger. If you don't play a sport in middle school, you may not make the team in high school. And if you don't play in high school, you can kiss the hope of playing in college goodbye. But they are also innovators and adventurers, free with their thoughts and opinions. A number of our young people have traveled overseas to orphanages and schools, wanting to make the world a better place for others. Friends are very, very important. Not only do they support you, but they help you to form your identity and know who you are. Friends become like a second family. There is family time too, eating together, processing, and enjoying each other's company. But these things start to compete with one another because there is not enough time in the day. I heard one parent who was pleased that there was a snow day because their children got a chance to sleep. 75% of youth pastors agree that teens' busyness is the biggest challenge to the effectiveness of their ministry. But just in case any of you want to wag your finger judgingly at these youth, I want you to look again at yourself. We as a church are a highly educated, driven bunch. We have big jobs and lives that ask a lot of us. And then there are complicated family systems that add layers of complexity to this. It was suggested to me that we as adults may need to repent of our busyness, because busyness is not just in the lives of our youth. They have learned it from watching us. We are modeling this pace for them. Maybe here in Lent, we need to reflect on what we fill our lives with, and then consider how well are we as people when we do show up. I don't know about you, but I often show up stressed and tired. Yet, I don't want you to see this as bleak and too big to overcome. Young people are also leading. They have voices and thoughts. My 16-year-old nephew may be more informed and knowledgeable on current affairs than I am, but he doesn't have the life experience that I do. He is grappling with ethics and the realities of our world, and that's why he needs to be in relationship with adults like me, so that we can challenge each other in this. When you look at the news over the last few weeks, you see that youth who are demanding to be heard are finding their voice. Youth who do not want to sit back and let adults make all of the decisions for them, especially when it's young people who are being hurt or who are bearing the brunt of the policies that adults are making for them. I see these youth as joining in the work of Jesus, turning over tables and shaking things up. Youth get segregated into their own groups every day, all week long, and then they come to church here and we do more of the same. We send them off to their basement corner, and we want their lives to be shaped in this space. Should we be casting things out? Casting out faith that is restricted to Sunday mornings? Casting out divisions around age? Church is one of the few multi-generational places left in our society. Working with faith formation with young people isn't hip and shiny or sexy, but it is the slow, holy work of God's kingdom. How do we not compete to create something bigger and brighter, but offer something different? Offer them the upside-down kingdom of God by daily walking in this foolish faith. I can paint a picture and get really passionate about youth faith formation, but if it's just me, then our youth miss out. They miss out what they could learn from all of you in this faith community. They need all of you. The benefit of this is that it's not just a one-way street. When you lead a junior youth class, your understanding of the Bible can grow. When you're part of a discussion with the youth, you can be stretched, your faith expanded. When you mentor a young person, you can stand on the holy ground of hearing their story and sharing your own. We have a narrative here at Parkview that goes around outside of Parkview too, that we are a retirement church with 220 people over the age of 60. Well, that misses a big part of the story. My hope is that we can change this narrative, because a quarter of the people here at Parkview are 18 years old or under. A quarter of our church is young people. What a blessing and an opportunity. If we have 25% of our congregation, if they are 25% of our congregation, then of course they are going to take our time and our energy. So I invite you again to think about who has given to you. And I remember again that I will also be blessed in this work. One Sunday, as I was down the front here blessing children, I was embraced by one of the children. And as I spoke words of blessing over her, she whispered in my ear, "You too, Mariah, you too. God bless you, you too." Are we presenting young people with a robust faith that can stand up the barrage of questions and culture? Are we modeling, living out the kingdom of God, walking in the footsteps of Jesus and inviting youth to come with us? I have to say a resounding sometimes, because these questions are hard and we trip over living out these things for ourselves. And we back away from what we can see as turbulent youth, especially when they're asking the very questions we may be wrestling with. We back away and settle into our pew and think that someone else will do this. Well, these may be the very questions your faith is asking of you. Maybe this Lent, we should fast from comfort, fast from segregation by age and life stage, fast from going to what is known and easy. In this time of Lent, can we lean into our faith, lean into God, remembering that God is revealed in new and surprising ways to each generation. If we are not connected across the generations, we miss God's voice. We miss seeing the Spirit moving where God is stirring. To close, I want to give you one last thought. In all of our conversations around youth ministry that we have been looking at here, we have been talking about our youth. I noticed coming out of our last visioning meeting that there was no missional piece in what we've been talking about. It was completely missing. As I get to know the kids at Kids Club, they are craving connection and community and activities. When I plan for youth activities for the young people of our church, there is not that hunger. Youth programming at our church is just one more thing in a long list of school and sport and choir and play practice and musical instrument practice. Can we, as a church, go to where that hunger is? Can we include Kids Club kids and middle schoolers in our junior youth activities? What is God's call to us to turn out towards our community? Even though the lives of youth may feel very different to us, God remains the same. Youth are not customers here to consume. So let's not treat them like that. They want to see authentic faith. So let's be that for them. We're going to have the harp play in just a moment, and I want you to think for yourself. What has this reflection stirred in you? And there's a space in the bulletin if you would like to jot down some thoughts. So just on your own for about a minute, take time to reflect on what you heard.